Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
Canada has two official languages, English and, of course, French. English or French language skills are important for immigrants to settle in Canada. An immigrant may choose to focus on learning one or the other before migrating to Canada. So that's what my parents did. Just that. My mother, who never spoke English before coming to Canada, enrolled in language classes as soon as she arrived. My father, on the other hand, already knew English and got by with just speaking English alone. To not confuse my older brother and I, my parents only spoke English at home. Born and raised in good old Edmonton, Alberta, although increasingly and incredibly multicultural, I only spoke English. Never having the desire to learn French, I also never enrolled in French classes during high school. Instead, I took drama, Spanish, cosmetology, and phys ed. I loved badminton. Learning French and truly embracing Canadian bilingualism wasn't a huge importance to me until I graduated from university and was looking for a stable job in either government or public service departments. A light bulb went off and it dawned on me. I'm going to need to learn French in order to move along in my career. Fresh out of university, working in Ottawa's non-for-profit realm, I was hit with yet another hard-hitting truth. To learn French this late in the game would cost me a pretty penny. In January 2016, Statistics Canada revealed there are three times more people applying for jobs than there are openings. Although public servants are retiring at an increasing rate, 6,000 of the positions opening up in federal government roles require candidates to be bilingual. Currently, there are not enough bilingual candidates or newly graduated candidates to fill these bilingual roles. So for this RVF special, I, Juanita Mwanga, has chosen to show the art and beauty of becoming bilingual. Regardless of what age you are, it's never too late to learn a new language. And more importantly, embrace our beautiful Canadian bilingualism culture and hopefully put that competitive edge to this competitive market. Monique Collette began her public service career with the Department of Secretary of State in Moncton, New Brunswick. She subsequently held several positions within the department, including Regional Director for New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island, and Director General, Regional Operations in Ottawa. Ms. Collette was recognized for outstanding contributions she has made to public service of Canada during her distinguished career, notably at the Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency. Although retired now, Monique is still active in public service, providing her expertise to the board of directors for the Canadian Foundation of Cross-Cultural Dialogue. Me and Monique sat down to talk about Acadian culture, the amazing food, the importance of bilingualism to our federal government, and the work that she has done in linguistics across Canada, not only helping French Canadians, but also Anglophone Canadians immerse in bilingual culture.
I've worked as a public servant, both in Ottawa and in various regions of Canada, particularly East, for 38 years. And after I retired, I decided to do volunteer work, and this is what brings me to La Fondation. I truly believe in the country's bilingualism, objectives, and I thought that I could make a difference, especially when we look at a concept like the Rendezvous de la Francophonie. So that's essentially my pedigree, or whatever you want to call it. Languages, culture has always been close to my heart, so I, you know.
You were based in New Brunswick before.
I'm originally from New Brunswick.
Oh, amazing.
I'm from a little community called Grand Digue, which is about 20 kilometers from Moncton, New Brunswick.
So what does Acadian culture mean to you?
It means a person who is a Francophone, but who is also very close to the Anglophone population, because if you take the province of New Brunswick, 60% of the population is Anglophone, and, well, roughly 60%, and roughly 40% are Francophone. Therefore, being an Acadian is being a Francophone who is, let's say, closer maybe to the Anglophone population. The Acadians also have their own culture, which means their own culinary expertise and their own festivities or community activities. And that is very important for me. If we come to August 15th, August 15th is the anniversary of Acadians everywhere they are. Every August 15th, there is a parade with a lot of noise, with people dressed in the colors of the Acadian flag, which are red, blue, and white, with a star. And people get together, they sing, they eat Acadian food, and they celebrate.
What is Acadian food?
Acadian food varies. I mean, obviously, a lot of Acadian food, because the Acadians were first created, if you can say that, in the Maritimes, a lot of the food is directly linked to seafood, the sea. But there's also some very specific dishes, like, and this one you have to remember, it's chicken fricot.
Fricot.
Yes, and so it's called just, in Acadian, it's fricot. It's a chicken soup, but it tastes nothing like the chicken soup of that you eat.
Chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, chicken noodle soup or that kind of stuff. It's not done with noodle. It is potato-based, like a lot of the food of Acadians. And there's another one which has no resemblance to nothing else, and it's la poutine râpée, okay? And that is a mixture of potatoes, shredded potatoes mixed with mashed potatoes and put into a ball, and in the middle of the ball you put salt meat, and then you cook it, and that is eaten either with salt or with molasses or with brown sugar, white sugar, depends on what you want, but that is a typically Acadian dish. And when you're in L'Acadie, you absolutely need to have your poutine râpée. So those are just two examples. But the fricot, what makes the difference is the use of summer seasoning, okay, which is a spice. Mm-hmm. So in any case, that's all part of the tradition. To get close to Acadian people means sharing the food. But the same applies to any culture.
I recently moved to Ottawa and noticed the job market is heavily dependent on bilingual candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think this is, and do you think this is important?
Oh, well, it's definitely important. Bilingualism exists in Canada, or has always existed in Canada, meaning when I say bilingualism, meaning French and English, and it's one of the values of Canada. Back in 1969, the legal framework around official languages was put in place under the guise of the Official Languages Act. And since then, there's been a lot of focus on official languages. But the reason why, when positions open and require that the candidate be bilingual, is because there is two populations to serve. Therefore, and many others, obviously, but the two official, or the Official Languages Act has two official languages, French and English. Therefore, the people that work for the federal government or for the officially bilingual province, which is only New Brunswick now, you need to have people that are able to serve the population in either one of the official languages.
So with that said, do you think French language courses should be accessible and free to English-speaking Canadians?
Accessible, yes, definitely. But it goes both ways. It's English for Francophones and French for Anglophones. But at this point, there's a lot of resources on the net that allows you to really acquire knowledge of a second language. Throughout the net, there's a lot of resources. There's a lot of chat rooms as well. One person in BC, a statistician, was giving me the example that he learned his second language by being part of a group that he found on the internet, and that gave him all sorts of tips as to, you know, like the formal part of learning a language, but also the informal part, which is extremely important. I've compiled a list of best practices and for the federal public service, and when I ask people, you know, what made it easier to learn a second language, they said, well, contact with the culture. If you want to develop your taste of learning a language or even learning it, well, you should be getting in touch with that or establishing contact with that community that speaks the language that you want to learn. And for the formal part, I mean, the internet is, there's no compare. The resources are often, well, they're there, and also they're free of charge. It's all about the willingness to learn, but as far as the requirement for having people that are able to serve people in both official languages, I think that that's, well, it's been in existence for a long time, and it won't change, because it is a value of the of Canadian society.
Absolutely. So you did go into this quite a bit, but maybe this weekend you can give me some suggestions as to how I could immerse myself in Canada's bilingual culture.
So from a point of view of somebody who wants to learn, my advice would be participate in community activities of the cultural group that you want to learn the language from, and that applies to anybody. Like, if you want to learn Mandarin, nothing prevents you from participating in Chinese community activities. You want to learn Italian? Go to Montreal for one day or a weekend or something, and go in the Italian very vibrant community. You'll pick up the language, and then afterwards, you can learn. But the same applies to all languages that applies to French and English. But for French, you can, in immersion programs and in the philosophy of learning a language, immersion has always been very big, in the sense that if you want to learn Japanese, which is a very difficult language to learn, well, my view is that you probably should go to Japan at some point in time and spend some time learning the language. Well, to learn French, you can immerse yourself in the Maritimes and live in a totally Acadian, Francophone community. And nothing preempts you from, you're young, you can take a job in, you're in a very good network with the community, with the community radio, that networks with your Francophone, with your Francophone sister. Therefore, nothing preempts you from totally immersing yourself and learning the language fast. Mm-hmm. It's a different approach to learning a language, but the other point that I would make, and it was for your more senior listeners, is mm-hmm. that it's been fully researched in neurology that the learning of a language will protect you to a certain extent against some very serious ailments like Alzheimer's and, you know, illnesses like that, mental illnesses. In order to keep your head strong and to protect your neurons, it has been fully researched, and the internet can provide people with all that, but learning a second language has had huge benefits on protection of neurons. So when we have a little bit more time on our hands, nothing preempts us from learning a second language, which will develop new pathways in your head and use your neurons and protect them from being destroyed in older age.
So how can Canadians celebrate Acadian Day and Acadian culture?
Well, by participating in activities that are organized. Nothing like dressing in blue, red, and white, and banging pots and pans and stuff like that, because this is what we do in Atlantic Canada. And it's a fun thing. One should remember of Acadian Day, which is August 15th every year, is that when the Acadians were deported back in 1755 from Nova Scotia, a lot of them ended up in Louisiana, okay? And you must have heard maybe the Cajun culture in Louisiana. Well, it's Acadian for short, okay?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So the Cajuns are really Acadians, but it's the, if you look at the word Acadien, okay, or Acadian, well, the Cajun became Cajun.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, short of the spices, and again, it has to do with food, short of the spices, the same mentality and culture and joie de vivre exist in both cultures. A lot of singers, come from Atlantic Canada, and a lot of singers come from Louisiana. It's a fabulous culture, and it's been in existence for a long time. You know, 1700, you know, came from France. The people, the Acadians, they came from France. They were a colony in the Maritimes. And from then on, they developed. There were about, 60 families that came, developed. And then 50 years after, or a little bit more, they were expulsed from the area where they were in a fight of the French and the English. And a lot of them ended up in Louisiana. And that's why you have words like Lafayette. You have a lot of author that use a lot of Francophone names. Well, that's where it comes from. But it's that Cajun connection, which is very, very important, okay? Zachary Richard, he's a French-speaking singer, very popular, based in Louisiana. I don't know, Baton Rouge or somewheres. But you see, like Lafayette, Baton Rouge, those are all French expressions. And it's all a very vibrant community, like the Acadians. And back in 2004, the first World Acadian Congress was held in Atlantic Canada. And after that, it was held in Louisiana. And it regroups all Canadians, Europeans, and Americans together And it's amazing. I found myself some relatives in Chicago. What are they doing in Chicago? Well, they ended up in Chicago. Some are even in Haiti. I mean, I don't understand it. But, you know, people travel. People, you know, so it's quite the culture.
Oh. Well, you largely touched on this, and this is my last question. But do you think bilingualism is beneficial for not only English-speaking Canadians, but also French-speaking Canadians?
Oh, definitely. It's beneficial to all because it's linked to cultures and traditions and ways of life. We cannot have enough of that. It's like, it opens you up to all sorts of things. And if you can imagine, all the people that are coming in to Canada either learn one or the other language, depending on where they are, but nothing preempts them from learning another one. And they have the advantage of having their own language, which they can share, and their own culture, and their own traditions that they can share with people. So that's why, to come back to the point of participating in cultural activities, community activities, is the way to go. Because then you are exposed to everything that a culture can offer you, including its language. La plèbe et le snob apprend surpris que le dilettante pense à devenir MC Solar par correspondance. Cool tel un bab, bon comme Bob. Cop de la pensée que le gogo baba gob. Sans blague, je m'éclate avec les gags de Dupontel. M aussi.
Patrice August is a Haitian native, but born in Congo, DRC. Teaching English as a second language to government officials and public servants in our nation's capital, Ottawa, Mr. August has been involved in a wide range of community projects helping in youth challenges, cultural diversity, and education. He has volunteered for the United Way and is acting as Chair of Development and Peace for Ottawa's French sector. Patrick says helping to build positive relations through communications between communities is one of his main goals, and why he got involved with teaching French in Canada in the first place.
Do you find that your students are majority English speakers who are seeking to learn French, or immigrants seeking to obtain one of the bilingual languages?
Generally, they're English-speaking students. Some of them, I would say, half born here, half were immigrant, but immigrant from English-speaking countries. The school I'm working for, generally all the students are working for the government, people trying to learn French to improve their career, because it's a must to be bilingual in their position if they want to have higher position. Generally, that's the kind of student I have.
How many students would you say you teach a year?
Because I'm part-time, I prefer to have to give a private lesson. I don't really have class. Generally, there are students per 2 months. I teach 8 months a year. I could say 12 to 15 students a year.
What would you say is a common struggle for English-speaking Canadians wishing to learn French?
First of all, I would say to be in an English-speaking environment, because they have a few opportunities to practice their English. English is very dominant, and that's one of the challenges, I think. Even if you think, listen to radio, television, etc., we have just a few channels speaking French, and they really have to focus on to searching French-speaking station, French-speaking people to practice their French. My students, for example, even if they are taking classes, but it's hard for them to really improve, because to improve you have to practice it.
Do you think bilingualism is beneficial not only for English-speaking Canadians, but also for French-speaking Canadians?
Yeah, first of all, according to the scientists, to speak at least two languages is good for your brain. Other than that, we live now in a global world, and we live here in Canada in an official bilingual country. And you should say, for example, for the 150th anniversary of Canada, the government stressed a lot about linguistic duality. That means if you want to advance in your career, you better be bilingual. If you want to be like a successful politician, you better be bilingual. And what I say, and you meet a different kind of people. And I think that you feel great when you meet people coming from different background, have different culture, and you can mix with people easier. It's good for your professional advancement and for your personal development.
Do you have any suggestions you could share on how we as Canadians could improve becoming more bilingual?
Well, first of all, I would say you got to be focused. They have to embrace a Francophone culture. For example, in Ottawa here, you could go to spend your weekend in Gatineau across the Quebec side and to practice your French. You could go, there's some meetings, they call meetup meetings, that you can find online, appointment where people practice their French, their English. You can go there. In the library, I know that in Ottawa, a central library, they have some meeting, gathering of people talking different languages for them to learn different languages, English or French. And you got to stress yourself. And I know that it's not easy, but if you really have the will to do it, you will succeed to do it. You have some course you can find online, and you have to listen to radio. Search French-speaking station, and watch movie, French-speaking movie. Spend some time in Quebec and go for vacation in Montreal, etc. All that can help.
So folks, that's the end of this RVF special. Thank you for tuning in, and special thank you to interviewees Monique Collette, Board of Directors for the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, and French language teacher Patrick August.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and the station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.